Tell me when you got it started. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray you take these thoughts and connect them. And I pray, Father, you'd use them in a real special way. And I pray, Father, you'd fill us with the Holy Spirit. Put heads around this room. We might study this spiritual warfare. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6. And we'll be looking at some different verses, but a lot of it will be, I'll draw a little basic diagram here in a minute. The Bible teaches us that the Christian life is typified by many things. One of them that it's strongly typified by is warfare. If you were going to put a note at the beginning of the book of Ephesians, you could put there Joshua beside it, / Hebrews, because Joshua is a book of warfare. Joshua is about conquering the promised land. For a child of God, the conquering of the promised land, we are more than conquerors, Romans 8 says, is about living what we would call a victorious Christian life. So if you took Ephesians and the book of Hebrews and the book of Joshua, they fit together. Joshua is a physical picture where Israel literally conquered a certain land, a promised land. And it's a picture of what God gives us in the Christian life. So in the book of Ephesians, book of Hebrews, he introduces us to that spiritual victory. And with that comes warfare. When you get saved, you come into a warfare that you didn't have before. When you're lost, or not walking with God, or not, you know, not aligned with God, the devil's for you, and God is for you. God wants to save you. God wants to straighten you out. God wants to be gracious. He maketh it to rain on the just and the unjust. When you get saved, you then make an enemy. Now that enemy, of course, is the devil and all his forces and all that goes with it. When you get saved and the Holy Spirit comes inside you, you have what the Bible teaches you is a contrary voice now. Before, you only had one voice, really. You might have had a little bit of conscience, a little bit of stuff, but you just had one voice. And that was the voice that the Spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, Ephesians calls it. When you get saved, what happens is you now have a contrary voice. Because the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary, the one to the other. So the great thing about being saved is you now have a contrary voice inside you. It goes contrary to the world. It goes contrary to the lust of the flesh. It goes contrary to worldly things. In Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10, he said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." We've mentioned before that there's a good courage and there's a good success in Joshua 1. So there's just regular old-fashioned human courage and there's good courage. There's regular success, there's good success. So here he says, "Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might." Now watch. "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." So Paul here talks about this warfare. He just begins to describe it, and he talks about the armor of God. So we're going to talk about Christian warfare, and we're going to look at it from the standpoint of the fact that it doesn't take long when you read your Bible to figure out, especially as you're being taught the Bible, that you've got primarily three enemies. And we're going to use this triangle here just to picture the fact that the child of God has warfare going on three fronts. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. All right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And then look down at verse 23. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Let's look at a significant statement. He says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." Now watch. "And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So that the idea of being preserved blameless has to do with the judgment seat of Christ. So we're a three-part being if we're saved. All right, your whole spirit, your soul, and your body. Be preserved blameless. So we're going to take these three sides of this triangle and look at it on the inside. We're going to write spirit, right side, soul across the bottom, and body, just as if we're going clockwise. You can do it kind of any way you want. Now, here's the idea of it. Okay, we're going to look at some principles in all different pieces. And we'll end up with a basic diagram here. And the idea isn't to be able to digest this all at once. The idea is to put these pieces together, look at the whole picture, and begin to think in terms of what our Bible teaches us. Now, we've got spirit, soul, and body. And we've got him talking about the armor of God. And you've got those pieces of the armor, which we're going to come back to, so you don't have to worry about them. But he said, having your loins girded about with truth. We'll call that the girdle of truth. And you got the breastplate of righteousness. You got the shoes of the gospel. You got the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the spirit. And underlying all that is praying always. So he's telling us to put on this armor of God and fight this fight. Now what our Bible is going to show us here is that we've got spirit, soul, and body, and we know that there's got to be some correlation, obviously, to the Godhead, Father, Holy Ghost, and Son, which we're going to look at. But then there's more things about that because of the enemies we have. We know that we talk about the world, the flesh, and the devil. Okay? So let's start with this idea, and let's look at this idea of our spirit. Now mark this down in your mind. It says, "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching the inward parts of the belly." Okay? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Grab 1 Corinthians 2 and then 1 John chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and then 1 John. Now we'll look at some verses, write some stuff down, and again, you're not going to process every bit of it. This is an overall truth with a lot of really interesting pieces. All right, look at 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9 and 10. If we could look at the rest of the passage, but just watch. "As it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things," keep that in your mind, "the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. What man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit, small s, which is of God." Two small s's, okay? "That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God," etc., etc. So he talks about things of the Father. In your New Testament, 90% of the times when you see God there, he's mentioning the Father because he distinguishes between the Father and the Son. Not every single time, but many times. All right, come to 1 John. Come to the epistle of 1 John for a minute. First John. Now what we're going to keep in mind here is that as we look down through this thing, we're looking to see what the Lord tells us about these different issues. Look at verse 15, okay? Look what he says. "Love not the world, neither the what? Things." Remember that word we picked up in 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10? The things that be of God, okay? 1 John 2:15, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." Now we don't have to turn to every single verse on this, but what we notice is out here is this. Our human spirit correlates to the Father. Now occasionally you'll find people teaching something else, but if you just follow these verses through, you'll see, and there's no need for any real conflict over it. But just notice that when you find our human spirit, we constantly find the idea of the Father in it. So much so when Jesus died on the cross, what did he say? Into thy hands I commend my spirit. His spirit went to the Father. He was the soul of God. He went down into hell. And so his body's left in the grave. Now, here's the idea. He said, I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body be prepared. The Father correlates to our spirit. Now, what does he tell us to do? He tells us to do what? Love not what? The world. Neither the things that are in the world, right? So what is it that's trying to come between us and the Father?
The world.
Yeah, the things of the world. Or let's just say it this way. The world is trying to come between us. Okay? The world wants to come between us. It wants to get in there, and the things of the world want to come in there. Now, here's something really wild if you want to think about this. When you think about the Lord Jesus Christ talking about living for eternity and living forever, and He uses the word things, there's a passage that we all relate to and remember, and it sticks with us, and it's in Matthew 6. And He says in Matthew 6 what? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, right? After all these things. So what does He tell us? Look at Matthew 6 real quick, so you'll see this. Matthew 6, okay? So a lot of these scriptures we got going out here, we got Matthew 6, which we were looking at. We got Ephesians chapter 6. We got 1 John 2, 15 and 16. Okay? I'll write these out here. We got 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. So the world is going to use what? Things. Now in Matthew 6, what does He tell us? What does He tell us about things? Look what He says here about seeking first the kingdom of God. Verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His what? Righteousness. Get hold of this. Now watch how awesome your King James Bible is put together. Go to Ephesians 6. I hope you stick a marker in Ephesians 6. We're going to keep coming back there. Okay? Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6. What does He tell us to put on that has to do with righteousness? How about that? What does a breastplate cover?
Chest, your
heart. So you know what this is about? You know what the Spirit is about? You know what the world's fighting for? It's fighting for our love. So we win the fight by loving not the world and by giving God our heart. Can't you think of a couple other things? Ready? Colossians 3:1. Sex your affection on things. There it is, isn't it? Things what? Above. So watch. If I want to defeat the world, I do it with my love. I do it with my heart. I do it with seeking first the things of God. The kingdom of God and His what? Righteousness. His righteousness. And I do that by putting on the breastplate of righteousness. I put on the breastplate of righteousness by saying, okay, I'm going to seek God first. I'm going to set my heart on things above. Okay? That's how we're supposed to win this particular thing. That's why when we're doing that, we're walking in fellowship with the Father. The world's not blotting out our relationship with Him. He gives us all sorts of promises. We could look at many, many, many things. But here's the lesson. To win the battle on our spirit side, we do it by putting on the breastplate of righteousness and saying, Lord, all right, I got to get my heart right. I got to love the things of God. I got to set not my heart on things above. I got to set not my heart on the things of on earth. So He says, love not the world, not the things that are in the world. So, if I want to get that victory, it's by love and by my heart. Okay? Now, that's on one battlefront. That's the spirit battlefront. That's the our spirit correlates to the Father, and who's trying to come between us? The world. The world's represented by things. The things of the world versus the things of God. Okay? We'll come back to some of this if you have any questions later, but let's get this whole idea. Now, next, let's look at the soul. What happens in the soul? What correlates to the soul? Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Again, this is laying a foundation for further study. 1 Peter chapter 2. Foundation for many hours of meditating on it and applying it. This is not just some doctrinal thing. It's not just just sort of a clever thing. This is really all about getting the spiritual victory, but it's going to show us about these pieces of armor, which is pretty wild if you think about your Bible. 1 Peter 2:11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which what? War against the soul. Now, in our soul, What does the flesh lust against?
The flesh lusts against the Holy Ghost, doesn't he?
The flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Okay? What does he say lusts against it there? What is our enemy? It's flesh. It's the flesh.
Now, it's pretty amazing if you begin to think that in my soul is where the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Now, a lot of your new versions of your Bible, when you get in passages, they take that word out and put Holy Spirit in there as much as possible. Because there's a great lesson here. The Holy Ghost would correspond to your soul. Your soul would be the shape of your body. But God, when you die, God doesn't let your soul go running around scaring people. The old Casper the Friendly Ghost routine, okay? He takes you and your spirit out of here. Otherwise, you could just kind of give people a real fright, couldn't you? So in 1 Peter 2, what does he say? He says these fleshly lusts, they war against the soul. Now come Galatians 5 for a minute. Galatians 5. These are very familiar passages to you, but they begin to take on a pattern for us and a substance to it as we look at this in the context of it. Galatians chapter 5. Look at verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so you cannot do the things that you would. So what do we find? The flesh resists the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is there to fill our soul. And so these fleshly lusts, they war. Get it? 1 Peter 2:11. They war against the soul. Now here's an amazing thing about this armor, if you go to Ephesians for a minute. Now stay there in Galatians for a minute. Now watch. Verse 18, if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law, etc., etc. What is the picture of a Christian in a relationship to the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit? Is they let the Holy Spirit lead them. It's one of submission. It's one of a yielded will, an actively agreeing, yielded will. So in Romans 6 and Romans 7, what does he warn about? He warns about us yielding our members. What are our members? Our hands, our feet, our tongue, our eyes, our ears, our brain. Those are all just physical things that we can use. They're members of us. He said you can either use them by obeying the flesh or you can obey the Holy Ghost. So the flesh is constantly trying to get in between us and the Holy Ghost to get our soul to obey those desires. They're listed in Galatians. They're listed in Romans. They're listed in Matthew, okay? Now watch. There's got to be some piece of armor that correlates to the soul. Go to Ephesians with me. Go to Ephesians again. Hope you got our mark. Now watch. He says, stand therefore, having loins girt about with truth. We'll come to that. Having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now I want you to get a hold of this one. When we decide to take up the gospel, have our feet shod, he's given us a picture here. Now that picture is this. Our feet in the Bible are a picture of a man's will or his dominance. Example, when Joshua wanted to show that they were going to defeat the kings, they brought him out, they laid on the ground, and they put their foot on their throat, on their necks. When you bow at somebody, you bow at their what? At their feet. If you want to really show submission, what did she do? She wiped her feet with her hair and her tears. So your feet are what take you wherever you're going to go. Now, when I take my feet and I put on the shoes of the gospel, Ephesians chapter 6, it means I take the cross and I strap it to my feet. Now, here's the picture. I was going to do this tonight. I've done it before, so I'll just tell you what I've done to do it. One time when I was demonstrating this, I just took a big old refrigerator box, cut it open, and I laid it out. I put bricks and nails and briars, all kind of stuff there. I knew I had a couple farm boys in the church, so I knew they'd take me up on the first part of this. And I said, now, who of you want to go across that barefooted? And a couple guys thought, yeah, I can do that. And I knew that was coming. So I had under the pulpit a couple glass jars and a little hammer. So I took those glass jars and I broke them into little pieces and spread them out there. And they decided not to take me up on that one. Okay? So then I just took the littlest lady in the church, just Phil and his wife were sitting there, and I just had her put on these boots, these work boots, from this big old country boy, And she could walk back and forth across the glass. Now here's the lesson. When I'm barefooted, my feet tell me where to go. When my feet are shod, I can tell my feet where to go. You ever be barefooted and you had to walk across pebbles and stuff, you know, or briars, and you're like, ooh, 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 no matter how tough most people's feet are? But when you got boots on, the tenderest feet can do what they're told. So here's the picture. When I don't have the shoes of the gospel on, when I don't take up my cross, when I don't apply death to self to my life, my fleshly lusts tell me where to go, what to do, how to live. But when I take this thing, these shoes of the gospel, okay, and I put these shoes of the gospel on, what I've done is I've applied the cross to my will. Now, the Holy Ghost can tell me where to go, because now I'm submitted, I'm yielded. How am I yielded? I'm yielded through my submission, my obedience. I can't obey. Listen, the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be, Romans 8:7. So my obedience can then be fulfilled. Now, once I have these shoes on, then the flesh can try what it will. It will war against my soul, but it can't get me to do those things because I've applied the shoes of the gospel. What have I done? I've applied the cross of Jesus Christ to my thinking, to my soul, to my obedience. Will those thoughts come? Yeah. Will it try to drive me? Yeah. But what have I done? I've put those shoes on. I've applied the preparation of the gospel of peace, my will, my obedience, my yielding. All right, we can come back to that and we'll tie this together here in a little while. Now watch. On the body, then, we've got the Father, we've got the Holy Ghost. What do we obviously have when it comes to our body? What's left? The Son. Right? Now why would it be the Son? Why would that... Well, God was manifest in the flesh. Well, who was that? That was Jesus. Who is God manifest for us in the flesh? It's the Son. So what does He picture for us? He was tempted at all points like as we are, yet without sin, Hebrews 4. Now, in our body has to do with material things. Okay? Your fleshly lusts have to do with soulish things. But our body has to do with material things. For example, let's go to Matthew 4 for a minute. Let's just see who fights this thing real hard. Okay? Now here, it's with love. Watch. How do I defeat the world? By having my love in the right place. Right? By loving the things of God. How do I defeat the flesh? Do I wrestle with it? Do I go around saying, no, I won't do it, I won't do it, I won't do it, I won't do it? No. I say, Lord, I'm going to yield to You. I'm going to put on the cross. I'm going to die to myself, and I'm going to obey the Holy Spirit. So I don't get victory over the world the same way I get victory over the flesh. Because I'm a three-part creature. I've also got a warfare going. The flesh is trying to get me to listen to it, to obey it. And it can do that if I don't have that strapped on, man, my shoes of the gospel on, because now I can tell my will where to go before my will told me what to do. Now watch. Here we got the body. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Now there's a multitude of verses we could run back and forth on these three things, but I want to lay the foundation first, and then we'll talk about this armor and anything that comes from the discussion. Matthew chapter 4. Are you familiar with this? This is the Lord Jesus Christ being tempted by the devil. He uses, for example, he says, turn these stones into bread. And Jesus says in verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Each attack by the devil here has to do with saying, he says what? What is his operative word? Look at verse 3, if thou be the Son of God. See? The if? Look at verse 6, if thou be the Son of God. Okay? He says to him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and what? And worship me. So what happens is we get this idea that what happens is for in his encounter with him, who is trying to make him fall? Who is the enemy that comes between us? It's the devil, Satan. Okay? But do you see something here? There's a lot of things people blame on him that in working is the world or the flesh. Now we're going to look at how to defeat the devil. We defeat the world with our what? Our heart. Our love. We defeat the flesh with our obedience to the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection, death to self. See that? Now watch. What does the Lord Jesus Christ, what is it the devil is attacking? What is it he's after? Acts, faith. Let's take one of the classics in the Old Testament. Who did he attack physically? Job. Now we know that spilled over into the emotional and mental and all that, right? But what did he attack with? He attacked it physically. All right. Now, watch this. Let's look at Romans chapter 7. Romans 7. Romans chapter 7. Verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, with the flesh the law of sin. He said, now if I obey the law of sin, he goes, I think I'm right, but when I obey with my mind. Here's the idea, okay? The devil, what does he fire at us? What is it called? What does he fire?
Darts.
Fiery darts. He tries to hurt us, burn us, tries to steal our faith. So what would we use against fiery darts of our armor? The shield of faith. What's that? Yeah. Now, where faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of what? Word of God, Romans 10:17. So we see on this one, although the word of God is true in all of them, this one is particularly so because it's the shield of faith. He said, have your loins girt about with what? With truth. Do you know what Simon Peter says? He said, gird up the loins of your mind. So the Bible gives you over in 1 Peter an understanding of what it is to have be girdled with truth. It's your mind. With what? With truth. So we're going to call it the girdle of truth, the support of truth. Now watch this. What does he tell us to have on our head? The helmet of the hope of salvation. Okay? Because when the devil comes, he is the author of what? What's the opposite of faith? Doubt. The world is trying to get you to doubt it or love it. Love it. Right? Okay? The flesh is trying to get you to do what to it? Obey it. Yield to it. Obey it. The devil is trying to get you to what? Doubt God. So our temptations have three different main forms. And they're affecting a different part of us. Now, it's not a matter of dissecting. It's a matter, as you would in martial arts, as you would in the military, of fighting it according to who you're fighting. Okay? You can't fight the world with your faith. You fight the world with your heart. I get victory over the world by loving the things of God, setting my heart, my affection on things above. I defeat the world by saying, Lord, I'm going to love what's in heaven. Amen. I defeat the flesh by saying, wait a minute. I'm saved. I'm putting myself on the cross. I'm going to tell my will where to go through the power now, power of the Holy Ghost. Not my power, see? But it's obedience. But the devil, you defeat him with faith. Now, when we get a hold of that thing, it's not a matter of always having to think it through, but it is a matter of thinking it through. Because what we're doing is we're saying, okay, wait a minute. The world's getting at me because I didn't put on my breastplate of righteousness today. I didn't stop and say, wait a minute, my heart is set on things above. My heart, I'm going to love, I'm going to seek the kingdom of God first. I'm not going to defeat the devil, Matthew 4. I'm not going to defeat the devil the way I defeat the world, Matthew 6. I defeat the devil with my faith. I bold, ready? Submit yourselves therefore unto God, then do what? To the devil. Resist the devil and he will what? Flee from you. Does it ever tell you the world's ever going to flee from you? No. Is the flesh ever going to flee? No, it's there. It ain't going nowhere. It's right there. You're stuck with it, man. But, what's that? Okay, but you see why it's exciting in this sense, in a very practical sense. It begins to tell us what these pieces of armor are. It's not just, oh, well, I got my helmet on, I got my chest protector on, you know, I got my belt on. Now, we know the other two pieces are what? We've got the girdle of truth, we've got the breastplate of righteousness, we've got the shoes of the gospel, we've got the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. Now, we know there's one actual piece left, and what is it? It's the sword of the Spirit. Now, the sword of the Spirit, obviously, can be used in all these ways. But what's it really for? It's for conquering with. What do we go and take people captive with? Do you know what the word sermon means in Latin? It's a stab, a thrust. That's what it means. So when we're out there witnessing, the reason we want to know our Bible, listen, the reason I keep saying learn your Bible, so you got a handle on it, so you can answer genuine questions, so you can take somebody captive for good. So you can conquer them for good. Now we know that the Word of God does these things. It affects the breastplate of righteousness and the shoes of the gospel. I understand all that. But in a warrior sense, it's what we take people captive with. It's what we use to conquer with. Is that cool or what? Now, what is this all built on down here on the bottom, though? What is the one thing he said to do always?
Pray.
Praying always. You know why? Paul asked for you to pray for him. You remember that? We've talked about this before. Did it in men's prayer? So Paul said, pray for me. Here's the Apostle Paul. Get this, man. The Apostle Paul said, would you pray that I'll be bold? Now see what you think. Everybody thinks of the Apostle Paul. Man, I bet he was just bold all the time. He says in several places, would you pray for me that I should be bold as I ought to be? He said, in presence I am base among you. He said, I'm not some thriving personality that comes in here and, oh yeah. He said, you know, a lot of times people just take me for granted when I'm there. Because they accuse me. They said, boy, you write some heavy letters, some weighty letters, some strong letters, but when you're here, you're just a little old guy. See? And he said, well, that may be true physically. You don't walk after the flesh. Now, here's what's so cool about the thing. When you look at it, when we begin to think this way, then we realize that our being relates to the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Father, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, and the Son. We've got three distinct enemies. We're not ultra-divided ever. We're not saying that the verses can't run together. We're not saying that the trials and temptations don't run together. But the victories are won through the situation. It tells us now what armor to put on, how to put it on, and what it's for. Now, when the enemy's getting at you, this is about not being fied. This is about not having my shoes of the gospel on. Or, you know what? This is about not having my shield of faith. Now, you could take each one of these pieces, and you could spend a long time on it. We might sometime. But right now, what I want to do is lay that foundation a little bit to say, okay, I see. Let's take the shield of faith, for example. In the old-time warrior days, it might be a thin piece of brass or a piece of wood, and they would have leather on the outside of it. And the mother of that soldier would soak it in water for days before the battle. So that when they went into battle, those fiery darts would hit it, because they would shoot fire arrows and they would go out, because it was soaked in water. Now what on earth might water be a type of? It might just be a type of the Word of God, washing with water by the Word. It's a matter of being soaked in the Word of God so that my faith grows and my faith is strong. Guess what else? You try holding up a shield that's made out of brass and wet leather. So after it takes time to build strength. Be strong in the Lord. Strong in the faith. It takes strength to do that and have that sword going, see? But without that shield, he wouldn't get those fiery darts. Now watch. The breastplate of righteousness has to do with the world in my heart. The shield of faith has to do with the devil and his fiery darts that would make me doubt. You see that? The shoes of the gospel mean I can stand when my flesh would say run. I can walk forward when it would say go sideways. I can do what I have to do. My will submitted to the Holy Ghost. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So when we begin this way, we go, wow, Lord, that is awesome that you give us all these things that correspond. But then I know how to fight that fight. Then I know how to put on that armor. Now, there's little phrases that we ought to learn then as we do it. For example, your Bible tells you in Ephesians, you were, but you are. It says, ye were, ye are. That's important to learn. What was I? Look at Ephesians for a minute. I'll just show you what I'm saying without going into it at length. But I'll just show you that there's little phrases, and they're not just insignificant. But let's look at Ephesians 2, verse 1. Ephesians 2. Watch this. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Okay? You see that? Verse 3, the end of the verse. Ye were by nature the children of wrath. Verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together in Christ. You see all those things? You were. He's telling us what we were. Verse 12, ye were without Christ, etc. Now watch. Now in Christ, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh. Ye are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So all through this New Testament, he says, you were, now what? You are. So you know what we got to do? We have to, by faith, take that. He didn't say you feel like you are. He said you are. So sometimes when everything's getting all confused or these different trials are coming, we say, okay, I was that, now I am that. Which is going to try to tell me that I am what I was. Am I right or not?
Yeah.
Isn't it? It's going to keep trying to tell you that you are what you were. Because it wants you to be what you were. It wants you to live out. You can never be what you were. You can never be unsaved again. You can never be the same creature you were because you're a new creature in Christ. You got a new nature in you. You're not the same exact creature. You're not a whole new creation yet because you got your body yet, your old nature hanging in there. But you're a new creature. You're not the creature you were before. So you'll never be who you were. So Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. There's two I's in there. There's two me's in there. And that's why, you know, we're schizophrenic and don't even mean to be. You were, you are. And so when we get hold of that thing, we go, okay, that's how this thing's fought. See? For example, someone says, you know, well, I love this. Watch. I love this, you know. I'm trying to pick something nobody will feel personal. I love French poodles. There. Okay. Nobody here loves French poodles, probably. Okay. Yeah. Well, you could say I love cars or I love this or I love that, couldn't you? Right? And God says, no, you don't. Because I got a whole new set of loves when I got Jesus Christ. So now what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to love the things which are above. Can I see the things that are above? With this? Eyes? No. Can I touch them? No. I got to do that by what? By faith, Hebrews 11. Right? Faith is the substance of things for the evidence of things not seen. Right? So, the devil comes, and he tries to tell you that you can't God, that you've got to doubt him, that all these things, and so you got to build your faith up, your shield of faith. The world comes and tells you what to love. The flesh comes, and it tries to tell you you were. God says, no, you are. So many of these things. Another phrase, am not isn't cannot be. Because I am not doesn't mean I cannot be. See, as a child of God, someone says, well, I'm just not friendly. And God says, that doesn't mean you cannot be. Because you're a new creature, right? And so in each of these things, the enemy comes and he throws things out at correction, for example, is not rejection. When God the Father begins to correct us, He hasn't rejected us. He wants to send us out in the world, doesn't He? The old enemy. The world wants us. It wants our money. It wants our heart. It wants us to love the things that are in it. Okay? So, we think about those things. Now, tie all this together then, what happens is, consciously, really, visibly, you might say, or tangibly, put on the armor of God. We use Scripture always to do it because that's where, you know, we're using Scripture admonitions. But the idea is we can now picture, okay, I'm putting on the breastplate of righteousness. I got a heart. World, the things of the world. See? Against the things that are going to pass away, against the vain things, against the tangible things. I got to guard my heart against that. I got to guard my will, my soul, against the flesh. How do I do that? By obeying the Holy Spirit. I on those shoes of the gospel. I put on the cross, the preparation, look, of the gospel of peace. I'm ready to go out and be a living gospel. Death, burial, what? Resurrection. That's my new nature. That's my new me. See? Now, with the devil, what do I do? shield of faith, and I got the girdle of truth, the helmet of salvation, because he's going to come and he wants me to doubt and doubt. Now, what does he do? He attacks what? Physical things. He attacks in the physical realm. He attacks in the faith realm. Have you ever noticed how tough we were when we were lost against events, and how soft we become when we get saved against events? We get more superstitious once we get saved sometimes than we were before. Before it was just an event. It just happened. Boy, you know, that was a bad thing. But then later on it's like, oh, I wonder if God loves me. Or I wonder, well, why did God let that happen? And why did God do this? And why did God do that? And the devil's just saying, I got you, man. I got you. Remember what he said about Job? He tried to say that Job was only doing right because God was blessing him. So the devil will come and say, hey, Lord, hey, God, he's only praising you today because he's got no trouble. He wants to see if you shout in church, if you shout on the job, if you shout in your prayer closet, praise him when everything looks horrible. See, because he's trying to do what? He's trying to kill my faith. So he's attacking on that thing. Now, the great thing is, as I'm doing these three things, I'm having fellowship with the Father, with the Holy Ghost, and with the Son. I'm actually being led, having fellowship with, having a relationship with all three. Now, we do realize the Holy Spirit helps us? Yeah. But we realize, do you know, when the Lord had Paul write, here's an amazing thing. Let me see if I can zip over to this verse real quick for you. Look at, I believe it's in 2 Corinthians, the one that's coming to my mind. 2 Corinthians, oh yeah, chapter 6. Watch this. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. This is just to show you what I'm saying here. He said in verse 16, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you the temple of living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, walk in them, I will be their God, they shall be my people. Now watch. Wherefore come ye out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Look at verse 18. And will be a father, capital F, unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. That's not just fellowship in the Holy Ghost. There's other places he talks about praying in the Holy Ghost, doesn't he? Here he's talking about having fellowship with the Father. So you see, we have the whole Godhead that he wants us to have fellowship with. We have the whole Godhead that he wants us to have power from. We have the whole Godhead that he wants us to honor. Now, I believe with all my heart that that means that there's times when a child of God can be getting victory here and not be getting victory against the flesh. And they might be getting victory against the world and the flesh, but they might not be getting victory against the devil. When you begin to think that way, you realize, have you ever thought, is it, guy preaches with power, that means everything is okay? Well, of course not. Of course not. I mean, I know guys that, I know men that passed off the scene, and before they died, they said, what did you regret? One guy said, I regret I didn't take care of my body better. It's possible he could get to heaven and not get a crown of temperance, but he could get a soul winner's crown. He could get a shepherd's crown. See? We forget. Get in my book, you find out that I'm going to use you whether everything is perfect or not. We think, oh, God used that. He could have ministry things right with God, and he might not have. I might. I could be blessing you spiritually, but there might be some part in which I'm not getting victory. So the great thing about that is then we're conscious of that. We're saying, okay, Lord, I don't care about the world. You know, I love you. And the Lord says, yeah, okay, well, let's get victory down here. Or let's get victory over here. Because when we're getting victory here, if we're not careful, we're watching our back door, and we're not the whole armor. Didn't he not say put on the whole armor of God? Right? Because if I don't have the whole armor of God, what am I? I'm vulnerable to one of my enemies. Each of those armors of God shows us a different way in which the enemy comes at us and wants to war that warfare. Now, the enemy is relentless. I know this from martial arts. The way you beat a guy is by getting him to think he's already won. You put pressure, and then you release. And when he comes at you, all you literally do is move it out of the way, and you take his head off. It's real a simple concept. That guy feels that pressure. Boom, he pushes. You just let him go. Wham. There's another one where you literally, when we were doing martial arts, you literally just take his hands and put them on you, let him think he's got you. And then you belt him. It's pretty cool. That's what the devil does. I'm gonna let you sit there and think, you know, man, victory over the world. Amen. I do. I don't care. And then he comes at your faith. And we fail in our faith because we don't trust him. Take a step of faith or believing by faith. What would be the emphasis of faith is, so we could be loving the things of God and looking forward to heaven. Be getting victory here and not walking after the flesh. But we could be pinned down with doubt, couldn't we? And then vice versa. Any questions? All right, let's pray. Father, we pray you'd help us, Lord, even if we fellowship and discuss. But Father, we pray you take these things, lay a foundation for us, and remind us, Lord, that we don't have to get far from the foundation things to enjoy our Christian life and to be victorious. In fact, we need them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.